government doesn't care about you. That's why you need a medical emergency kit. It contains life-saving medications like ivermectin, Z-Pak, and antibiotics. Stock them before they block them.
This is a special report.
Knowing how to invest your money is harder than ever before. Dealing with stock market volatility, record debt, and terrorist attacks requires new thinking. At U.S. Asset Management, we can help you see the world more clearly so that you can move beyond the chaos and invest with confidence. Call us, visit us online, or drop by our office. U.S. Asset Management, helping you make better decisions with your money.
It is necessary to investigate before legislating. But the line between investigating and persecuting is a very fine one.
The investigators tell us it seems the suspect was going to pass them, then turned and fired.
Christine, Laura, what you're seeing behind me is one of multiple locations.
I rise to support the impeachment of President Donald J. Trump.
And I'm about to talk to him about allegations that he was involved with prostitutes in Moscow and that the Russians taped it and have leverage over him.
Welcome back. We're here with Dr. Kelly Victory of The Wellness Company. Doc, thanks for coming on. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
So I wanted to have you on, one, to talk about monkeypox, but before the show, we were talking about some other things that we want to get into too. So let's start with that. What's going on? Monkeypox has reared its ugly head again. What's happening?
Well, here's the reality. Monkeypox, Todd, does not pose any significant threat to the vast majority of the population. It's been around for many, many decades. It stayed primarily in Central and West Africa. It has largely been a problem and continues to be largely a problem amongst men who are having sex with other men. For reasons that are unclear, public health officials have shied away from saying that, but that is the reality, and it's very important to people's understanding of it. The average individual, people who are not sexually active, people who are not having sex with men, who are having sex with other men, children, those sorts of things, are not at risk. Furthermore, this is not something that ever should have been elevated, in my estimation, to a public health concern of global proportions for the reasons that I just laid out. I think the reason they are doing this is because they are desperate. And when I say they, I mean the powers that be at the very highest levels of our government. They are desperate to come up with some reason to keep people fearful. Because it was such an effective way to modify and manipulate people's behavior during the COVID pandemic. Monkeypox itself is a relatively mild viral infection. When people do get it, it causes a blistering kind of vesicular rash that is similar to what people see with chickenpox and
it
sort of a
scary
flu-like. Yes, it's very, it's ugly. It's very awful looking and nobody wants to get it. It looks like you've got leprosy. But the reality is it lasts 2 to 4 weeks and is accompanied with flu-like symptoms. It is not something that lands people in the hospital or causes death. The deaths that have been reported, again, are in places that are third world countries that have essentially no or very limited access to healthcare. The problem that people get into in those areas of the world with something like monkeypox is not the monkeypox virus itself. It's the fact that if you're living in a squalid conditions or don't have access to clean water, you can end up with secondary bacterial infections in the skin, for example, and get overwhelmed with a bacterial infection that could be problematic. Monkeypox itself is not a fatal virus. So I think it's much ado about nothing. That does not mean that they won't try to run it up the flagpole and see who will salute.
So the recent, narrative has been, well, it could be more deadly or more transmissible. What say you to that?
Well, it, as viruses mutate, they generally do two things. Number one, they become more transmissible. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, they become less lethal, less virulent, okay, less deadly. But again, we at this point, there has not been a reported case in the United States. Mm-hmm. It remains largely a problem of Africa, Central and West Africa. And I think that's where the public health focus should be.
Very good. So we were talking beforehand about several things. What might they use to, I guess, up the fear porn, as you've said? I mean, you've talked about COVID is still around, and what else is out there?
Well, I've got several things still on my bingo card. COVID is one of them. You may know that Kamala Harris is requiring her staffers and the people on her campaign to still be updated with COVID mRNA booster shots. I mean, this is just preposterous. We're talking about a time when, you know, everybody hopefully understands, independent of the tremendous harms that have been caused by those mRNA shots, that they are essentially useless. They do mm-hmm. not stop you from contracting COVID or transmitting it to others. I mean, we have our own president, you know, Joe Biden has, I think he's six shots deep into this, and he's had COVID, you know, about every 15 minutes. And Anthony Fauci himself has had it for the third time, despite the fact that he claims he is heavily vaccinated for it. Mm-hmm. So you still have that going on. And we're just going to be getting into standard cold and flu season as we get closer and closer to the election. Then they're talking about bird flu. I mm-hmm. had anticipated that that would be the disease X, H5N1, mm-hmm. Again, a virus that in and of itself is really no concern to the vast majority of people. It has largely only affected people who are in direct contact with poultry birds, or with cattle, for example, mm-hmm. That are infected. The problem, Todd, with H5N1 is that they are currently doing gain of function research on that mm-hmm. virus in the United States at the USDA lab in Georgia and at multiple academic institutions, including the University of Wisconsin in Madison. And they are doing gain of function research on H5N1 with the specific goal of making it more transmissible between human beings. Mm-hmm. Why in the world would they do that if it were not with the intent to make it more of an issue than it is on its own? So there's that to keep an eye on. They mm-hmm. already have an mRNA vaccine at the ready for bird flu, shocker. And they also are at the same time doing this very unnecessary and actually dangerous, really, you know, problematic issue of testing farm animals and poultry animals with the intention of culling, of exterminating animals that, quote, test positive, rather than allowing the virus to work its way through the flock, through the herd. Some number of animals may die of it, but the rest will develop natural immunity and, you know, it won't drive mutations. So they're doing essentially everything wrong or everything they can to put to damage the food supply, to really continue their war on farmers and to instill fear in people for something that left to its own would not cause us really any harm.
I think you're right. There's a big food supply-ish part of this, you know, and you combine that with the farms in Belgium and what they're doing in mm-hmm. Seattle and all of that. I mean, it's obviously they're attacking the food supply and, mm-hmm. and people can have backyard chickens, right? And it's a very simple way of having good protein at the ready if you can't go to the store. So I think you're right about that. Talk to us about COVID. I mean, what is the latest? I mean, is there another variation, or why would anybody in their right mind get a shot that can destroy their immune system?
Well, no one in their right mind would do that for exactly the mm-hmm. reasons you've laid out. Mm-hmm. The reality, Todd, is that despite the fact that COVID-19 was a lab-created virus, and there's mm-hmm. absolutely irrefutable evidence that that was the case, it was the result of gain of function. Despite that, fortunately, as it has mutated, it's done exactly what we would expect it to do for a naturally occurring virus, mm-hmm. meaning those two things I said earlier. It has become more contagious. but at the same time, less lethal. It is really akin to the common cold right now. The vast majority of the population, 90%+ of the population, has already had COVID at least once and developed some level of natural immunity. The people who are at the greatest risk for COVID, unfortunately, are people who are heavily vaccinated. The Cleveland Clinic did a huge study, more than 50,000 patients, and concluded that the more vaccinated, quote unquote, you are for COVID, the more likely you are to contract it. The good news is, as I said, is it's relatively mild. People get a runny nose, low-grade fever, maybe sore throat, but people are not ending up in the hospital. They certainly aren't dying from it now. And we now have acknowledgement more in the mainstream. What I and some others have known from the very beginning, which is that we have lots of readily available, very safe, inexpensive, decades-old medications to treat COVID should somebody get more than some very mild symptoms. And that includes medications like ivermectin and steroids. We certainly don't need to be turning to brand new or really problematic drugs, Desivir or Paxlovid.
So we'll get to the medical kits, but a couple more questions. Long COVID, what have you seen on that? I mean, that's an issue, right?
Long COVID is a thing. You know, back in the olden days, meaning before COVID, it's what we used to call post-viral syndrome. Many viruses, including influenza, for example, Epstein-Barr virus, the virus that causes mononucleosis, many viruses are associated with some percentage of people who develop a prolonged or a prolonged period of time following the viral infection where they have symptoms of profound fatigue, sometimes muscle ache, brain fog, quote unquote, those sorts of things. So this isn't new to COVID. We certainly are seeing some overlap in that symptomatology in people who have received the vaccines as well. And it is very likely, it is assumed that it is the spike protein from COVID that is causing these prolonged symptoms. The good news is that we are making some headway at finding formulations of things to treat people who have that prolonged syndrome. It's largely things like natokinase and bromelain and cucurmin, things that help you to break down the spike protein from COVID that is causing these prolonged effects. But this is not something that's specific just to COVID. There are lots of other viruses, particularly respiratory viruses, that can end up with a prolonged period of time where people generally 6 to 12 months and then limits, you know, people tend to feel better after that.
And we had a good discussion with Dr. McCullough recently on the spike support formula that you guys offer, which is fantastic. I've got family members on it. Totally support that. One more question, and then I want to move to the kits. There's some rumors that they had maybe have put in the monkeypox in some of the other vaccines so that if you will test for it. Have you heard anything about that?
That they're putting the monkeypox vaccine in with other vaccines?
That they're putting some kind of material in some of the vaccines so that you will test positive for monkeypox so that then they can create more fear. Have you heard anything about that?
I have not heard that. There's enough to be concerned about without, I have not heard, heard anything in that along that lines. As I said, monkeypox really, it would be extraordinarily uncommon for it to start to spread amongst people other than through the roots that I said. And if it is, then I would start, it would really raise the flag to me. Are they conducting gain of function research on monkeypox? The idea that anyone, Todd, is doing gain of function research. I didn't agree with much that was done during the Obama administration, but one of the things that I absolutely supported was the moratorium that was placed on gain of function research back in 2014. It is extraordinarily risky. Lab accidents happen all the time, far more often than people think. So even if it isn't out of nefarious intent, even if it's just abject incompetence or human error, these things do happen. And the idea that we would be weaponizing or making or more transmissible or more treatment resistant pathogens in a laboratory, I think is just insanity.
Well, there's also the theory that he did make them illegal so they could be sent offshore to be done. But anyway, that's a whole other show. So let's talk about the medical kits. You've got four of them. If somebody was, you know, worried about the future, which one should they start with, or and what do you think?
Well, we put together, we at the wellness company put mm-hmm. together these kits, and we've got two additional ones coming, including one for kids that's coming out probably in the next 30 days. The idea is not to cause fear of any mm-hmm. sort. We don't peddle fear. Mm-hmm. We're talking about rational readiness, Todd. Given what we experienced during COVID, the egregious intrusion of the government and mm-hmm. of big pharma, of pharmacies and pharmacists and insurance companies and hospital administrators, limiting people's legitimate access to medications and their inability to fill legitimate prescriptions written by physicians like myself. After that experience, we decided to put these kits together so that people are not at the mercy mm-hmm. of the healthcare system or of the supply chain should there be some type of an outbreak or a disaster. So you can go to the wellness company's website and see what's in each of the specific kits. They're all a little bit different, but they all include a combination of prescription medications as well as some non-prescription medications that cover a broad range of bacterial infections, viral mm-hmm. infections, fungal infections, some common things that you would need for first aid, some things for nausea and diarrhea, mm-hmm. those sorts of things. Because in the time of crisis, or if you are traveling, or if there's any type of a national, you know, disaster, man-made or naturally made, the last thing you want to do is be that person who's trying to find an urgent care or trying to get in touch with your doctor or trying, hoping to heck that the pharmacy will fill your prescription for something. So these kits, I think, are really wise to have on hand, not out of fear, but out of preparedness and out of what I call rational readiness, having some things on hand so that you can protect yourself and your family in times of crisis.
Well, you don't peddle fear, you peddle the exact opposite. I mean,
yes,
comfort and security and peace of mind that if something happens, you're covered, essentially, right?
Exactly right. I am a disaster preparedness and response specialist. Mm-hmm. There's nothing like preparedness and thinking mm-hmm. something through and having things mm-hmm. on hand that helps to allay fear. So where the government and the powers that be would like you to live in fear, believe that you need to hide in your basement until they come up with a new vaccine, bathe in Purell, and stay mm-hmm. away from others, we are saying, no, think this through. Have some of these kits on hand. You know your family best. Mm-hmm. There are people at the wellness company who are happy to guide you through and help you decide which kit is most appropriate for you. The kits come with a telemedicine consult.
I was going to mention that. Yeah.
Yeah. So that we're not asking you to fly solo. Mm-hmm. You actually can talk face to face with a clinician about how to use the medications. There's also a very detailed guidebook included with each of the kits that tell you how to take the medications, when to take them, the appropriate application. So there's a lot of support there.
Doc, thanks so much. You've covered everything I wanted. I appreciate it.
We'll have you back. Thanks very much. Thanks so much for having me.
Take care.